You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's up? This is the Talking to Star podcast. I know you have all been so disappointed that this is not the voice that has come over your wonderful speakers the last week, but I'm back. We're back. The Talking to Star podcast is back. And we are here to discuss the Dallas Cowboys football team. I'm your host, Connor Livesey. You can follow me on Twitter at ConnorNFLDraft. I'm here with my two co-hosts, Dalton Miller. You can follow him on Twitter at Cowboys_DBM. And Cole Patterson. You can follow him on Twitter at Cole L. Patterson. We are just under 24 hours removed from the Cowboys' 28-14 loss to the Tennessee Titans at home in AT&T Stadium on Monday Night Football. A game that is about as close as it can be to a must-win game for a team that was right in the thick of things in their division in the NFC East. And they 1,000% completely crapped the bed at home against a pretty easy opponent. And I think that's just icing on top of the cake of how the season has gone. Before we get too far into the game, because we're going to spend a lot of time talking about this game, I do want to ask my co-host how they're doing today and just see how they're doing after a very, very disappointing Monday Night Football game. How you guys doing?
I'm doing better than Jason Garrett right now.
Dalton, are you doing better than Jason Garrett?
I don't know what you guys are so upset about. I think Jason Garrett's doing fine. I'm doing fine. I think that there was parts of the game yesterday where all three phases were good, executed well at times. They just need to be better at certain times. I think that they were okay, and I think that they're going to be okay, even at 3-5 with a tough schedule coming up. There's nothing to worry about, guys.
Dude, I mean, I 100% agree. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I'm with y'all.
So this is all we're going to do today. We all agree
that panic.
The team's good.
It's a playoff football team.
Thank you guys for joining us.
It's a Super Bowl team.
And we'll see you guys next time on Talking the Star. No, I'm just kidding. This team sucks. And that's putting it nicely. The coaching staff's atrocious. The quarterback is playing terrible football for the most part. The defense got bulldozed by one of the worst offenses in the league. The running back, I don't even know where to start because even the good players on this football team, Ezekiel Elliott, 17 carries, 61 yards, 3.6 yards per carry. That's not good enough. I understand that the offensive line isn't blocking well. I understand it's not all on him. But maybe I'm speaking for myself. I don't want to put words in you guys' mouth. So if you guys disagree, but I think we need to see more from him with how bad this offense has been. And I know it's hard because the offensive line isn't playing well. The play calling isn't well. I guess just with his level.
I'm going to cut you off here real quick. Here's the issue with Ezekiel Elliott and running the football. The biggest issue is that so many times before they even line up, I know if it's going to be a run or if it's going to be a pass, depending on down and distance, depending on what kind of formation they are in.
Exactly.
That is a big issue. And I just put it up on Twitter. I started my my All-22 GIF thread that I'm actually doing videos on now instead of GIFs, so you guys can stop and pause and put the video exactly where you want it instead of just being forced to watch it over and over again. But the biggest thing that I noticed with it is they ran a play out of 10 personnel last night, which they've done once this year. And they spread the field out just outside of the 20-yard line on the first drive of the game and got like 7 or 8 yards on a run play. It was an inside zone. Tyron Smith made a phenomenal block to get across the face of a defender that was on the defensive tackle, lined up in kind of like a five tech. And he got all the way over and kind of sealed that off, and Ezekiel Elliott was able to take it up. But that is what you can do when you leave tight ends off of the field and spread them out. You have just your five guys against five or six guys inside. There's less to go wrong. And when there's less to go wrong, you are able to run the football with success. They did it one time last night, up to the point where I'm at in the game right now. But just run in better situations if you're going to run the football. And I think that's the issue that we're having with the run game right now.
Dude, there's one play that I remember from last night. It was a run to the right, and there was a hole there, and we kept hearing the broadcast guys talk about the patience of Zeke Elliott, and he does have very good patience. He has very good vision, but for some reason, in the first half, he had a lot of holes to run through. It looked like, you know, just from the live view. I haven't even watched all 22 yet. I'm still moving into a house, so I'll probably get on that tomorrow at some point. But there was a play that I remember from the broadcast where there was a run to the right, in between the – it was off tackle, I want to say, so it was kind of a wide run. And it was a slow-developing run. I think the guards pulled. And he had space, but for some reason he kind of hesitated. And it ended up being like a loss of one, but as soon as the ball was snapped, I was like, he's going to take that to the house. And I don't know why he had – I need to see the All-22 before I talk too much on
so-
it.
So was that was real early in the game, right?
Yeah, it was one of, it was like the second or third series or something like that.
No, it was the first series, I believe, and it was a sweep play. So what happened was they were in 13 personnel, but they were in a bunch formation. So they had all three tight ends there, and it was an outside run, and there was room on the inside where he could have cut it back.
I'm watching. I just saw you post it right here. Yeah, I'm watching.
Is that
it right
the play?
Now. Yep, it's the same one I'm talking about. It looked like. Yeah. And he did it. That's what I saw from the broadcast is if he would have cut it back, if I'm watching the play, but I'm saying right here, he would have housed it looked like. But for some reason, he kind of was keep trying to be patient, let the blocks develop. And they didn't develop, and it ended up being a loss of like two, it looks like. But, man, I don't know. I don't even know where to begin. Like I said, this football team's bad. Even the good players on the football team aren't playing good right now. But me and Cole, what did you see that really just, you know, kind of just shocked you? Because the offense playing bad shouldn't have shocked you. I just don't think, you know, after the firing of Paul Alexander, after bringing in Amari Cooper, after coming off of a bye week, I feel like everyone should have expected them to do more than what they did. And they completely just laid an egg and looked awful. What did you see that just really disappointed you in that game, whether from the offense or defense? Because neither side played all that well.
Yeah, y'all kind of touched on it offensively, at least on the run game and the offensive line. I was just shocked about the defense. That I know the offense did not put them in good positions all night. Turnovers hurt, gave Tennessee some good field position, things of that nature. But when Dawn and I kind of predicted the game on last Thursday show, we didn't really see the Titans scoring all that much. First of all, because the Cowboys defense has been playing so well for the most part this season. And secondly, we were going over the Titans offense and they don't really have anybody that puts fear into you. They don't have anybody that can take the top off of defense. They don't have a game-changing running back. Mariota's been up and down. I mean, they don't really have anybody that you would think can put up 28 points on what we have said all seasons is a top five defense. So that kind of surprised me. Like I said, turnovers gave the Titans some good field position. But coming off a bye, you had an extra week to prepare for this kind of offense that has had their struggles, much like the Cowboys. So I did not see them. I didn't really see them scoring two touchdowns, much less four touchdowns. So that was something that honestly surprised me. I thought I wasn't expecting the offense to be on all cylinders, but I didn't expect them to be that bad either. However, I thought the defense would give them enough to win this game, as far as not let Tennessee get into the end zone.
Yeah, so just real quick, I wanted to piggyback off of that. Cole brought up talking about nobody that instills fear into your heart.
Yeah.
On the Titans offense last night, because I broadcast the game at a bar, do a live broadcast on Facebook, but that's neither here nor there. I take the roster in and look at it, and I literally had to look at who their second wide receiver was. Because past Corey Davis, I didn't know who the hell he was.
I believe they had an undrafted free agent playing some meaningful snaps last night, too.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know his name. Still don't know his name.
Tajay Sharp.
I still don't know it.
Tajay Sharp was like a fourth or fifth rounder a few years ago out of Western Kentucky or something like that.
Yeah, and Tajay Sharp pulled up during warm-ups yesterday. And he still ended up playing. Mm-hmm. But I thought after pulling up, after a guy that I barely even know, Tajay Sharp, but I don't know anybody past him.
Yeah, I mean, it's rough. That offense is not good.
Cameron Bateson, I believe he was an undrafted
free agent. Who the hell is Cameron Bateson?
Yeah, yeah, he got some meaningful snaps last night. He's a guy that probably won't be on the vast majority of other teams' 53-man rosters, much less playing in a big game on Monday Night Football. So,
what was his stat line? Like, you know, 8 catches for 260 yards? And
I mean, it seems like he had that last night.
No, I mean, it's crazy because obviously the offense stunk it up. You know, the bad thing is I know this sounds ridiculous to say, but I didn't think Dak Prescott was atrocious. It was just the interception was awful. The fumble, even though I still think it was blown dead, was terrible. And he just looks like a deer in headlights 90% of the time now. But I didn't think his overall play was absolutely atrocious. It was just the mistakes he made were big enough to where you're like, what are you doing, man? Like,
that, and I think it was combined with how everybody's so optimistic that Amari Cooper was going to take his game to another level, and factored into that it was a Monday Night Football game, which was a must-win game to salvage the season, hopefully get back in the playoffs. I think everything just factored in, like, take his last few games, or really last, since, I guess, the midway point of last, up until now, factored in with the Amari Cooper trade, giving a first-round pick, and then the Monday Night Football stage. I think it all hurt Stack. I don't think he played... I don't think he played awful. I mean, he certainly didn't play great, but I think everything factored in just really hurts him and just, like, I'm the biggest Dak fan in the world, but I am having big, like, question marks, and I thought last night he would have a better game just to remind us how good he can be. I thought early in the game, it looked like he was going to have a good game, and then missed throw to Beasley. After that, kind of just all went downhill.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I wanted to touch on real quick is that early in this game and early in other games, I've noticed that he plays well. You know, at least in the first quarter of games, I feel like he's played pretty well. I feel like on first drives, they've done pretty well. But then over the course of the game, it just gets away from him. I touched on it a couple times already going through the film. He was more on schedule and early in his throws than he has been the entire year, early in this game. And I don't know what happened later because I haven't gotten to it yet, and I can only talk about what I saw in the live viewing. But it's like I want to look at it. They don't play well coming out at half.
No.
Am I right there? No. Like, okay. I'm not crazy to think that after halftime they don't play well.
No, and okay. I think the most frustrating thing is with this offense, and I hate that we're kind of jumping around and not going in sequence, but that's kind of what I wanted to do, is just talk about the things that frustrate us. So when it's 21-14, they punt the ball to you, and you need, and this is where my frustrations come in, not with the quarterback, but with the play calling. You have to make something happen here. I want to say there was 8 minutes left or something like that. They punted the ball back to them. They get the ball at like the 20-yard line, and they go 3-and-out. And it's literally a run, an incompletion, a screen pass, and then they punt. That makes me want to put my head through a wall, that is what they come up with. I tweeted it out last night from the Blogging the Boys account. I run that account most game days. I tweeted out, you know, I was like, hopefully Scott Linehan can dig into his bag of tricks, a.k.a. Cole Beasley, who has yet to catch a pass to go down the field and put together a touchdown drive to tie the football game.
You know you don't want to get me started on that one.
And what did he do? He ran the ball the first time. He called a play-action bootleg, I think, that went absolutely nowhere. And I think there might have been a penalty on I'm not 100% sure. I wish I had the drive chart pulled up in front of me. But it was a 3rd and 13 or something. You know, they might have lost some yardage on the run or something like that. And then they throw the screen. If it is 3rd and 13 or more, it is a screen to the running back.
It's funny you said that. I was watching the game with a good friend of mine that happens to be a Tennessee Titans fan. Right before that, right when the ball was snapped, he jokingly said, here's on the screen that y'all are running. And then Dak threw this pass to Zeke, and we just started laughing because how predictable it was.
I tweeted out from the account also about 5 times last night, here comes the screen to Zeke. Here comes the screen to Rod Smith. Here comes the screen to Zeke. That is because it's all they have.
In every second and long and third and long, that's what they do.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally, it's not even like, it doesn't take anyone who knows anything about football to watch 3 of their football games and go, man, every time the TV reads 3rd and 13 or more, they hike the ball. The quarterback takes a step. The offensive line starts moving forward. And then they throw the ball to the guy standing beside the quarterback. I mean, it literally, my brother, you know, a 6-year-old kid could watch it and go, that's what they're probably going to do here because this is what they've done the last 300 times. And it's just so infuriating. Like the fact that and you know, I don't even mind the screen on 3rd and longs, but every once in a while, throw it to a wide receiver. You know, throw a wide receiver screen.
Like at least mix it up.
Yeah, like do something different. Run a draw. I don't care. But literally everyone on defense knows that is coming on 3rd and long. They know it's coming. That Wesley Woodyard yesterday, every time it was 3rd and long, when the ball was snapped, he would take 3 steps backwards and then flow to the sideline where the running back was going and then come up and make the tackle 7 yards short of the chains and then the punt team would walk on. It is so frustrating to watch. And again, if the quarterback is that bad that you have that – you know, that much confidence in him that he cannot throw a pass 13 yards, then you need to cut him, bench him, get rid of him immediately. That still falls back on the coaching staff. If you know your quarterback is that bad to where the only thing you can do in 10-plus yards is throw a screen, then I don't want him on the football team. But I've seen him make plays down the field before on, you know, 2nd and 13, and you know, I've seen him throw balls into tight windows here and there that I go, okay, you know, I've seen him do it. So if he's going to – if this, before we go to break, this is the last thing I want to say, and then we'll come back and talk some more about the game. If Dak Prescott is going to fail, let him fail. Don't fail him for the team. And that's what they're doing right now. They are allowing either him or they're just calling the plays that they think work. And it's failing. So they're either fixing their play calling to go, our quarterback isn't allowed to do this because he's not good enough, so we have to make it this way so the offense can actually function. But I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy, but as a head coach, general manager, owner of a football team, I would go, let the quarterback throw the football, because that's what quarterbacks are supposed to do, throw the football. Let him throw the football down the field, and if he physically can't do it, then that tells us all we need to know, and then we can get somebody else. Or let him use his legs, and if he gets hurt, he gets hurt, and we're already screwed at quarterback, so we'll be screwed then too. I just can't put up with the conservative, I guess is a word, but it's even more than conservative. It's just dumb play calling. It is stupid. They get and the thing I don't understand is, if it was consistent, I would understand it, but when they get in the red zone, they might as well have Joseph Randall at running back, because Ezekiel Elliott doesn't exist anymore. They take him completely out of the scheme when they get in the red zone for whatever reason. They were on the 2-yard line yesterday, and instead of running the ball right up the middle like they do on 3rd and 1 or 4th and 1, they get into shotgun and try to run some, you know, I don't know exactly what it was, but they run a silly play out of shotgun on the 2-yard line. It's just stupid. There's no way around calling the play calling stupid at times. Most of the time, I should say. And if the quarterback isn't good enough, let him show it and fail. That's just my opinion on it. I get you have to kind of use your play calling to go at guys' strengths and weaknesses. But to just keep pounding your head up against a brick wall and hoping something different happens is the definition of insanity. And that's just what it is doing the same things over and over again and expecting different results. And for the first 9 weeks of the season, that is exactly what we've seen them doing, except in the Giants game and the Jacksonville game when they allowed Dak Prescott to use his legs. They designed runs for him, and they actually look like a competent offense. But every other game since then, it has been one or two rushes per game, play action bootlegs, slants, and throwing screens on long down and distances, and it's just so frustrating to watch. Sorry I took up like 5 minutes of the time going on a rant.
I agree with everything you said. I mean, there's nothing really much to add. You pretty much covered it all.
We're going to take a quick break, come back, talk a little bit more about this frustrating loss. Then we're going to get into some of Jerry Jones's comments today, one with the guys at 105.3 The Fan. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back on Talk to Start Podcast. And we're back on the Talking the Star podcast. I want to give a big shout out to Blogging the Boys, SB Nation, Vox Media. Those guys doing a great job getting these podcasts out to you. I also want to give a shout out to all the other guys on Blogging the Boys staff who are also doing other podcasts. The Bruise and the Boys podcast, Ocho Live, 750, all those guys are doing a great, great job providing great content for all of Cowboys Nation, Cowboys fans around the world. Hope you guys are enjoying it. Again, thanks to Blogging the Boys, SB Nation, Vox Media. You guys are awesome. Let's dive right back in. I finished the first segment talking my head off, so I'm going to hand it off to the guys, let them talk a little bit. Dalton, kind of going off of what we left with as far as just the play calling, do you have anything to add to that? Do you have anything that you might have not agreed with what I said? I just don't think there's any way that with – and it's been talked about on Twitter. It's been talked about all over that this quarterback with this coaching staff will never work. Do you think there's any way possible that it can work, or do you just think it's doomed from the start until something changes either with the coaching staff and or the quarterback?
I mean, it obviously could. What could happen is the coaching staff could get its head out of its butt and actually focus the offense towards the quarterback's strengths. But since they will not do that, especially in the middle of a season, I got to say no. No matter what, at the end of the year, Scott Linehan has to be gone. What needs to happen is they need to bring in an offensive coordinator who is going to run his offense, is going to mold an offense around what the quarterback does. I said it earlier today. I was on with Ari Temkin. you need to use your quarterback's strengths. And that is what this team doesn't do. Doesn't even act like it wants to do. If they use his legs, if they use his ability to get out of the pocket, if they get him in easier throws where they're using pick plays, where they're running bunch and stack formations to get easy throws underneath and allow wide receivers and running backs and tight ends to catch the ball moving horizontally or moving even downfield, you need to do that because he is not the kind of quarterback who is going to be able to throw it into tight windows against zone coverage with anticipation to just pick you apart. That's what he will not do. That's what he will never be able to do. And this team wants to just try to continue to fit a square peg into a round hole and make him a pocket quarterback throwing balls into windows on routes that are coming straight back to him. And it just doesn't work. And it's so obvious to everybody except for the leadership on this football team that is what needs to happen. There are ways where this coaching staff could be, well, you know, okay. We've seen it before. If you have a quarterback, an elite quarterback who can run the offense and just call his own damn plays, check out of whatever he wants, this offense can move because we've seen that. When the situation is perfect, the offense can move. We've seen that in 2016 with this quarterback in this system. But you are never going to get perfect conditions most of the time. And that's what we're seeing right now.
I actually wanted to bring something up to you guys. I mentioned it very briefly on a podcast a couple of weeks ago. I wanted to talk about it for a second and see. I'll start it off with Cole and Dalton if you want to chime in. We always talk about 2016. It's brought up a lot for some reason, even though it was 2 years ago. People mention it being a fluke. People mention it as in, you know, we've seen them do it before. Why can't they do it now? My theory for 2016 was that going into that year, the plan was for Tony Romo to be the quarterback, for Ezekiel Elliott to be the running back, and then the third preseason in, Tony Romo got hurt. And at that point, you know, Kellen Moore had already gotten hurt. At that point, Dak Prescott was kind of thrown into the fire. Do you have time? I'm going to say this, and it might sound bad. It might not come out the way that I want it to. But can you have time with one preseason to go before the season starts to screw a quarterback up? Or are you kind of more like, hey, what can you do in this offense to make it productive? Since we don't really know a lot about you, we drafted you in the fourth round. You were our third, four-string quarterback in training camp. You barely got any reps. You have played in a couple preseason games and look good. To me, I wonder if in 2016 the coaching staff wasn't able to screw these young kids up, Ezekiel Elliott, Dak Prescott, because they weren't familiar with them yet. They didn't try to put their tweaks on every little thing. They kind of just let them go out there and play. And that's kind of what I saw in 2016. I saw a lot of quarterback runs. I saw a lot of play action. You know, I saw a pretty accurate quarterback who could, you know, throw the ball short to intermediate, you know, well, and then even throw the deep ball pretty well. I thought in 2016 he threw the deep ball a lot better than people gave him credit for. But now, since then, I've seen less of the quarterback running, more of these...
Quick note that I saw on Twitter the other day. His passer rating on deep balls is like third or fourth highest.
Yeah.
In the past 10 years, Tony Romo is one of the quarterbacks ahead of him.
Yeah, no, that's kind of what, you know, I've seen on tape. You know, people always said, oh, Dink and Dak. I think he throws the ball down the field pretty well. And even when he misses, like that Cole Beasley up the seam yesterday, first series, he missed him, but it wasn't like a huge miss. He overthrew him just by a little bit. I thought it was actually a pretty decent play by him. He stepped up in the pocket. There was a hold on that. I don't know if it was on Beasley, but he just missed Cole Beasley, and that stuff like that happens all the time around the league. But I wanted to throw it to you guys and just see if you think that – does that make any sense that the fact that Prescott was kind of thrown into things because he wasn't supposed to be the starter, there was real no game plan for Dak Prescott. They didn't change their offense to fit Dak Prescott because 2 weeks before the regular season started, it was Tony Romo, Ezekiel Elliott, you know, this is what we're throwing out there, and then it all changed in that Seattle game. And even after the Seattle game, people were talking about Nick Foles. It wasn't a necessarily full-blown thing that Prescott was going to be the starter until a week later from the Romo injury. What do you guys think? Do you think that's a good theory? Do you think it was stupid? I don't know. It blows my mind how, again, I ran the numbers today. The Cowboys have been in the top five in total yards twice since 2002, and one was in 2009, and one was in 2016. How do you go from being the one of the most dynamic offenses in 2016 to turning into an offense that literally can't, you know, put a series together when you have to? And I get it, like the quarterback's not playing well, but I just think that, like Dalton said, they're trying to fit a square box into a round hole after maybe not doing that in 2016 because they weren't able to do it. What do you guys think about that? We'll talk about that for a little bit before we get into some of Jerry's comments from today.
Yeah, I mean, I can see some of what you're saying, how they, like, he was a fourth-round draft pick. He had a really good collegiate career. He was up for the Heisman. Some people had him as a day two pick before his DUI that was later dropped. So, I mean, he had some talent coming out of college, and he really – he took the preseason by storm the first two games. I mean, he showed he has some talent. I know that's preseason, but he showed a little bit what he could do. And like what you said, the plan was for Romo to start and be the starter for the foreseeable future. And just let him – that's why they drafted Zeke, obviously, was to build his offense, make it in the mold of 2014. When he got hurt, people were still hoping that Romo would come pretty soon early in the season from injury. Turned out that didn't happen, and Dak was playing well. Like you said, he didn't really get a chance to build an offense around him, but not, like, install what they wanted to install because, I mean, like you mentioned previously, Prescott wasn't getting the reps in practice. He wasn't as experienced as Romo or even Kellen Moore. I know Moore is not a great NFL quarterback, but, I mean, at least he had the experience. So, I mean, they couldn't force what they wanted to force into his head. So I get that there a little bit. He played very well, and as the weeks kept going, people were still thinking that Romo would eventually come back. He was eventually going to be healthy enough to win the starting job, but Dak wasn't going to relinquish his starting position, but the way he was playing. So you saw, like, a more creative offense in the sense that they're letting Dak run a little bit more, letting him improvise, stuff like that. So I don't know if it's all on that, but I can see your theory on how they, like you said, didn't screw up their quarterback within a week of the regular season, but now that they've had time to put their philosophies in his head, he's kind of like forgotten how to play almost.
I try to, like, the way I try to, like, dummy explain it, if what I, my long dried out way is hard to understand, is like when you first start dating a new girl or a new guy, whatever, whoever's listening, you know, it's obviously going to be different, but say you got a new significant other, you're not really going to, like, express yourself in the full way that you normally would until, like, a couple, you know, months into the relationship. You're kind of like, okay, you know, I'll let them kind of show me what they got and I'll show them what I got, but I'm not going to, like, try to mold them into anything right now. And then when you get to know the person and you start, you know, developing a longer, more better relationship with that person, then it's like, okay, you know what I like, I know what you like, now let's try to make this work better. Let's try to, you know, make sure that you do what I like and I do what you like. And I just wonder if that's kind of what they're doing now, is it's like at first new person, new tool, new toy. Let's just see what he's got. Let's throw him out there, see what he can do, and let him kind of do it. And then, you know, as the season develops, we'll tweak him a little bit. And then you get to training camp, and then it's like, yeah, we like that you did that, but we want to do it this way now. and then, you know, he's tweaking him a little bit more, and now you're tweaking him more, and now you're turning into something he's not. And that, you know, it's kind of like a toxic relationship. You start off, it's all well, it's all great, and then 2 years in, you hate each other because you just couldn't be on the same page. Dalton, before we get into Jerry's comments, does that theory make sense, or am I just an idiot?
I think that if the Cowboys did attempt to mold an offense around Dak Prescott, and this is the product that they're putting on the field after that, I think that everybody needs to be fired, and I believe that Jerry needs to fire himself. He needs to fire Steven, and I think he needs to fire Jerry Jr. just for being a part of it all. He's not even in the football operations part of the team.
The crazy thing is you're saying that like in a little bit of a sarcastic way, and I totally see where you're coming from. But the sad thing is, I'm not being sarcastic. That's the bad thing. Yeah. Is it like we could literally all three sit here and be like, yeah, they thought that this was what was gonna, and they did. I mean, there's no denying that they were like.
Joey Ikes, who is a great follow on Twitter when it comes to Cowboys content, put it out there that, you know, this may be a bit of hyperbole, and Jeff Kavanaugh said it on the radio today. It may be hyperbole, but I truly believe that there are people on Twitter, media, you, me, Cole, doesn't matter, who could go in there and do a better job of putting an offense together.
Yeah.
And could improve the offense on day one. And they just refuse to even attempt to change things to help out this quarterback who is obviously struggling.
What blows my mind is that all offseason we heard the term Dak friendly, and I guess they just assumed that getting rid of Dez Bryant and letting Dak have Allen Hurns and Deontay Thompson to throw to him magically help him get out of this. I don't know what they're thinking. I mean, like you're saying, it's not, you would think they would try to build an offense that would go off of Dak's strengths, so let him do what he does best. Let's him perform like an NFL quarterback. I mean, I don't think he's an elite quarterback or anything. I think he's about an average quarterback, about in that average range. I don't think him and Mariota are two very different quarterbacks, but we're not seeing an offense built to Dak's strengths that will let him play like a good quarterback. You would think they would at some point adjust. They had a bye week. They could have made some adjustments. I know they brought in Amari and everything, but it's just the same old offense, and it's like they think it's just magic going to work 1 week, and I guess it did against Jacksonville, but I mean, I don't get it. I'm with you. I don't really understand it at all.
And one of the things that I really don't understand, and we'll probably end up getting to Jerry's comments in the last final segment, because I did want to talk about the defense a little bit in this game, because I thought that they were really, really bad after a really, really great start. The first quarter, I don't think you could ask this defense to play any better, and then it just completely fell off a cliff, and they just completely lost it. Marcus Mariota threw for 240 yards, 2 touchdowns. He only threw 8 incompletions. They converted on an astronomically high percentage of their third downs. Deion Lewis had 19 carries for 62 yards. Derrick Henry had 6 carries for 27 yards. Both Marcus and Derrick had a touchdown apiece. Corey Davis had 56 yards on 6 receptions. Darius Jennings, 36 yards. Jonnu Smith, 33 yards. Taywan Taylor, 24 yards. Cameron Batson, 21 yards. The Titans offense from the second quarter on looked like a Super Bowl contender, and that is just unacceptable, as they were coming into the league as one of the worst offenses in the NFL, and they completely ran over the Cowboys defense. Sean Lee went out with a hamstring injury in the second half. I'd be surprised if he comes back this year. I'd be surprised if he plays a game in a Cowboys uniform ever again. But the difference is in the last, when Sean Lee missed time earlier in the years, you didn't really miss him. You missed him this game. Leighton Vander Esch had a really bad game, in my opinion. Jalen Smith had not a very good game in the second half. We saw the lack of pass rush come back to haunt this defensive line. Other than DeMarcus Lawrence and Daniel Ross, the pass rush is pretty much non-existent. What happened to the defense? You come off a two-week bye week. A bye week. You had a week to prepare for one of the worst offenses in football, and they got bulldozed. They gave up the most points that they have given up all year against by far the worst offense that they have faced all year. How does that even happen?
So here's what happened. All right. What happened was Cole and I talked about positional grades, and we gave the corners A's. And when we gave the corners A's, we automatically jinxed them to not play well in this game. Byron Jones was fine. I think he gave up a couple catches, but he was in off coverage. No big deal. Chidobe Awuzie, for as sticky as he can be in coverage, getting him to turn his head around and find the football is worse than pulling teeth. And once again, he was 5 for 5 being thrown against in man coverage. And
he's been
that's
bad.
Not good enough. It's just not good enough. I don't know if he's not 100%. I don't know if he's not feeling comfortable out there. I don't know if this is a new technique thing that he's still trying to figure out. It's not good enough. If you need to put Anthony Brown out there and put Jordan Lewis in the slot, or if you need to put Anthony Brown outside and put Chidobe Awuzie in the slot, if you need to move Chidobe Awuzie to safety, I don't care what you have to do. He's not cutting it right now. Do I think that he will be able to get it? Absolutely. He's a phenomenal athlete. Like I said, he is sticky in coverage, but he's got to fix his technique and getting his head around and getting his hand on the ball. And that's what hurt you. And on third down, over the middle especially, was awful. Absolutely awful. There is no way that you should give up third and nines, third and sevens, third and elevens consistently. They were 11 for 14 on third down. That is unacceptable in any way, shape, form. However you try to cut it, that is terrible.
Yeah, it was. You pretty much said it. It was terrible. It was a terrible performance from the defense. It was an even worse performance from the offense, and that led to a 28.
And I got to talk to you. I got to say, you brought up as your two pass rushers being Tank Lawrence and Daniel Ross,
yeah,
who I'm pretty sure 2 weeks ago was inactive.
Yeah, he's a stud.
Why was he inactive 2 weeks ago? Why don't we talk about that more? We should have talked about that more.
We should have.
Why was he inactive?
Because they had to play four tight ends, Dalton.
Exactly. Yeah. I know. And you know, Taco has been non-existent since week two.
He's awful.
Dorrance Armstrong had a strong game.
Yeah, he had a half intended. A sack or full. I don't know if it's full, but a half. He at least had a half a sack.
But.
Pass rush is non-existent other than DeMarcus Lawrence and Daniel Ross. The linebacker, I thought, again, I had eaten so many crows for Leighton Vander Esch, but he was pitiful in that game. In coverage, he had a bad penalty. He was bad against the run. He missed a couple open field tackles. That was, and this sounds bad because it sounds like I'm rooting against a player, but the performance I saw from Leighton Vander Esch yesterday was the performance I thought we'd be getting the whole season, and he's been really good. But last night he wasn't able to keep up that pace, that hot start, and had a really rough game filling in for Sean Lee. We're going to take our final break, come back, talk about some of the comments Jerry Jones made today on 105.3 The Fan with Sean and RJ. We'll be right back after a brief break. And we're back on the Talking the Star podcast. I'm your host, Connor Livesey. Follow me on Twitter at ConnorNFLDraft. You can follow my co-host on Twitter at Cole L. Patterson and Cowboys_DBM. So today, after just a crueling, gut-wrenching, take your heart out, stab it a billion times with a ballpoint pen loss to the Titans at home in your own stadium, you get bulldozed by a first-year head coach, a terrible offense, a bad football team in the Tennessee Titans. Jerry Jones decides to go on 105.3 The Fan. shortly after Jason Garrett was on 105.3 The Fan, you know, telling us that all three teams played well, that we saw some good things from all three factors, the special teams, the defense, the offense, they all played, you know, pretty well. We got to be better. We got to execute better. But all three of them, you know, they showed some good things. Just shortly after hearing that from the head coach that can't do anything right, just putting that nicely, the owner decides to go on 105.3 The Fan and not only endorse the head coach, the play caller, but he decides to just drop a bomb that the Cowboys will be extending Dak Prescott after a very, very below average start to his third year in the NFL. And I just can't. I don't know. You can't make this stuff up. That's the best way I can put it, is you cannot make this stuff up. This is the last thing we should be talking about right now. What should have come out of Jerry Jones's mouth, and I know you can't say it, is that we need to see more from my quarterback. We need to be better on the coaching staff. Our team isn't good enough right now. We have a lot of work to do. Instead, he endorsed his head coach. He endorsed his play caller. And he pretty much told his quarterback he had nothing to worry about, that he was going to have a long-term job in the NFL as the Cowboys starting quarterback. Boys, what'd you think about that?
I thought it was a really odd. Like, why would he say, like you said, why would he say that after that game? Like, why would he? I don't understand the point to go on radio and say you're going to extend your third-year quarterback after he put in that performance. And, like, anybody who knows me knows I'm a huge Dak Prescott fan, but, I mean, he's not earned a second contract at this point. He has not played up to the standard that the Cowboys need him to. I know we spent last segment talking about how some of that is because the Cowboys just won't build an offense around him. But some of that also is because, I mean, he has some liability. They just aren't good enough. And it just, I don't know if it's just Jason Garrett and Jerry Jones think we're just stupid and we don't know anything about football and we'll go along with what they say or what. But
that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. I mean, when I saw that tweet, I thought it was like from this time last year when Dak was actually playing pretty well. Like, I thought it was an old tweet, and then I realized it was this morning. I was like, what? After that, it wasn't a 1 o'clock game, a 12 o'clock game on a Sunday that was buried in the schedule. It was on a prime to Monday Night Football where the whole nation was watching the Dallas Cowboys try to get to 500 in a division that's still very winnable. And they lost by 2 touchdowns, and Dak didn't play very well in that game. He threw a pick, he turned the ball over, he missed some throws. It just wasn't a great game, and for him to just say that was kind of like, just makes me feel like they think we're idiots, like we don't know the game of football, and it's
a spit in the face.
I'm a Cowboys fan. Yeah, like I'm not a Cowboys fan. I'm mad, not because of supporting Dak, whatever your feelings, and I'm just like, why would you go on the day after that game and say that you're not going to make any coaching changes, say that you're going to extend your quarterback, and then act like everything's okay, like it hasn't been another disappointing season that just keeps piling on in the Jason Garrett era.
Dalton, thoughts on Jerry's comments?
Oh, yes. Do I have thoughts? So, something that I've noticed in the NFL and something that I looked at today earlier is when you go through and you look at the quarterbacks who have won Super Bowls in the past 20 years, it's all either Hall of Fame quarterbacks, Lucky Eli, who played against a Tom Brady who had 2 bad games, and he had a good defense with a good pass rush that affected Tom Brady. And then Nick Foles, who got hot and doesn't make a ton of money, who had a good team around him, even as a backup, elite defense there as well with the Eagles. And Joe Flacco, who also had a great defense and got hot in the playoffs. That's it. It's Hall of Fame quarterbacks,
dumbface Eli Manning, Joe Flacco, who got hot, and Nick Foles over the last 20 years. Those are the only quarterbacks other than Hall of Famers that have won the Super Bowl. And Russell Wilson on a rookie contract, who Russ, by all accounts, at this point, is looking like he's on his way to a possible Hall of Fame career. But you either have a team who is built around a rookie contract quarterback or a Hall of Famer win in the NFL, the big game. So why would you extend, why would you sign any quarterback that is not on the elite of the elites to an extension for big money? It doesn't make sense. It is proven over the past 20 years that those quarterbacks don't win Super Bowls. And I'm talking about the Phillip Rivers. I'm talking about the Tony Romos. Talking about the Matt Ryans. The, oh my God, who else?
I mean, I know he's won one, you know, I don't know, Russell, you could put Russell Wilson in that category, even though he has won Cam Newton.
But my issue with Russell Wilson is Russell Wilson was on a rookie contract.
Yes.
He had the Legion of Boom back.
I'm just saying, since
Cam
then,
Newton had a great defense.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is you either have an elite top 3 to 5 quarterback in the NFL, and that's how you win the Super Bowl, or you have a quarterback who's not making shit for money.
Yep.
I'm sorry it's a family show, and I'm sorry, but I'm very passionate about the fact that you do not pay a quarterback 15% of the salary cap when he is not the focal point of your team, when you have a running football team. It doesn't make sense. When you have a quarterback who can't will you to wins, it doesn't matter. If you don't have a quarterback with a good offensive mind to scheme wins, like Sean McVay and Jared Goff, who Jared Goff also in his third year and playing out of his mind, but he was a top pick. This isn't a fourth rounder. There's a reason why 22 of the starting quarterbacks in the NFL were first round picks, because you just don't see quarterbacks drafted afterwards have success at any sort of good rate. So it's not going to work. I'm sorry. You do not pay a normal starting quarterback in the NFL a serviceable one. You definitely don't pay Kirk Cousins $30 million guaranteed over 3 years. Every single year, $90 million. The Vikings are a hell of a football team, and they already have a good team around him. They have the money to spend. But I don't see him being able to win a Super Bowl. I don't think he takes you over the top, even with that team around him.
They might not even make the playoffs this year.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't make sense, and it's something that the NFL, and this isn't just a Jerry thing, but it's an NFL thing. The NFL just doesn't know that you're not supposed to do this. It's proven. You have to keep drafting until you find that franchise guy, that top five guy. Or else it just doesn't work. And eventually teams will figure it out, and the market for QBs will go down. And honestly, I don't think I have to pay Dak Prescott all that much, because I don't think the league thinks all that much of him. I think the Cowboys do. I think there's a good chance Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones just say, hey, here's a bucket load of money. But maybe they don't. Maybe they do try to play hardball. And if you get him for $10 million a year, okay. And then guess what? Keep drafting quarterbacks until you do find your franchise guy. But still build around him. If for some reason you pay him and you decide not to pay Byron Jones or Tank Lawrence, I quit. I'm moving somewhere else. I'm covering a different team. I will still always love the Cowboys. But it's not me. It's actually you. Now, to Jerry's comments, precisely, I don't understand why he had to do it. It takes away, as a businessman, that takes away your leverage when that agent knows that you do want to re-sign that quarterback. It takes away some of that financial leverage that you might have had on a struggling quarterback. It doesn't make sense. I understand trying to exude confidence in your quarterback. You need to do that. It would be irresponsible if he went out and said, oh yeah, he sucks, he needs to get better. But to just go out there and say that he's 25, he's going to get extended, is irresponsible as an owner, as a general manager, and as a businessman first and foremost. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, we went a little over today, but the last thing I want to leave you with before we get out of here, and it's just going to be real quick, is I did want to give a huge, just a huge, huge, huge shout out to Scott Linehan for running the Dallas special with 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, down 2 scores. Just what a genius play call by Scott Linehan. one of the greatest play calls I think I've ever seen. Never seen it before in my life. Just a perfect time to call it. It was executed perfectly. The defense definitely didn't see it coming because they didn't run. They didn't run a play.
I had that one too.
They didn't run a play a few quarters earlier that was pretty much the same fake to Cole Beasley. They definitely didn't set it up a few quarters before that. But just an excellent play call coming out of the 2 minute warning, down two scores. With zero chance of coming back in the game, you really fooled them there. And hey, that's what we got. That's what we're working with. We're working with the best here in Dallas because they are America's team, as you all know. But we still love them. We still cover them. We still support them. For some reason,
it's
like a broken relationship. Just you keep abusing me, but I keep coming back, and that's what we're gonna do next. Well, this week, actually, we're going to come back, talk some more football with you, talk some more Dallas Cowboys as we prepare you for Sunday Night Football as the Cowboys take on the Philadelphia Eagles on the road in Philadelphia. We're talking the Star. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you guys next time.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.